Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com.
You press your luck. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com, and I have been assaulted by another cold. Besieged. That's the word I'm using. Besieged by another cold. And if you have to look that word up, I apologize for using it. Anyway, we're going to do our best to try to get through the show today. My throat is not as sore, but I have a lot more mucus dripping through me, and so I may have to use a little mute button to clear out my throat every so often. Like that. So, if it goes dead from time to time, that's why. I'm just trying to save you from the fury that is my throat clearing out the snot. But getting back to what we're here for, our podcast today, looking at Monday Night Raw, I'd say it was actually a very good show. 2 weeks ago, they did what seemed like a great go-home show for the pay-per-view, and yet I lamented that there were still more shows to do between now and then, and I didn't think they could do anything. You know, what else was there? Well, it turns out they had some interesting stuff tonight, and some stuff that really worked well. There are one or two segments that really fell flat and killed a lot of stuff, but we'll get to that as we go through it. Starting here tonight, our guest host was Snoop Dogg. Now, this may be a surprise to some of you, but of course, I'm actually not the world's biggest Snoop Dogg fan, but I've got nothing really totally against the guy, so he was the host tonight. That's fine, whatever. As long as he's a fan of wrestling and he can perform adequately, then I don't really have a problem with him being the host. And what do you know? He actually did a very good job as host. There are times when he had to announce wrestlers and talk about some of the different characters, and he did the names fine. I'm actually remembering back that USA Network, when WWE came back to the USA Network, they started running these ads about the Raw Fan Nation, and they were making the websites where people could go in at WWEUniverse.com, whatever. And I remember that Snoop Dogg was one of the celebrities that came on and did one of these commercials. It was almost like a public service announcement. You know, one of those like, don't do drugs and don't start fires when you're out in the woods. Or be a fan of Raw. That's kind of how they felt. But he came and he did one of those. And so I think it really came across that he was a fan. He knew what he was talking about. He knew who the people were. He knew what was happening. And really, he was a very good host. He's naturally charismatic. He knows how to work a crowd, talk on the microphone. So it all came across really well. Even though I'm not apt to be the type of guy to, discuss Snoop Dogg. Regardless, Snoop Dogg came out to the ring. He came in I think it was like a pink limousine. I don't know why. Anyway, he had a bunch of the Divas in with him, the Bella Twins and Eve. They came to the ring, danced around a little bit. He announced tonight that Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase were going to have to face each other. He said that Triple H and John Cena were going to have to face each other, and Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels were going to have to face each other. He then announced that DX was going to be up next, and he called them out. They played the music. DX came down, did their little dance around, whatever. Snoop Dogg left with the ladies, and DX started doing their jokes about how they're old white guys, so of course they're going to have to attempt to do some of the Snoop Dogg words, and they did the hizzle and shizzle, and why does Snoop Dogg carry an umbrella? In case it drizzles, whatever. Just your stupid little goofy comedy that you expect out of, DX. They announced Team SmackDown, and they went through the contestants on there, and they basically, the only guys who really came off fine from what DX did against them was Crime Time, because all they said was that Crime Time was usually out in the parking lot trying to sell the unsold tickets for SmackDown. which is more of a SmackDown knock than a knock against them, but they instantly buried Drew McIntyre and Eric Escobar, which, granted, Escobar's been on TV 2 weeks, and he's getting this big pay-per-view shot. Drew McIntyre's been around a month. He's getting this big pay-per-view shot. These are two guys getting slingshotted right up to the top, past a whole bunch of other guys who've been around a long time and a bunch of guys who, have definitely paid their dues, who are good in the ring. I understand them taking a little dig at them, but it's kind of funny when it comes from a guy like Triple H. Triple H, who is notorious for holding down up-and-coming talent, notorious for burying new guys, and yet here he was doing this promo. I know, you just play it off as, that's the DX thing, it's funny, ha ha ha, whatever, but just coming from Triple H kind of rubs you the wrong way. Regardless, they did a Katie Vick joke, which no one in the crowd got. They said they couldn't remember Dolph Ziggler's name, but they said that, Team Raw is going to be head and shoulders above Team SmackDown. They introduced everybody. All the guys came down. They talked about Big Show being the world's biggest athlete, Mark Henry being the world's strongest athlete, talked about Jack Swagger being the all-American, American, 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 because he couldn't remember or whatever. Kofi Kingston is former U.S. champion, former Intercontinental champion. And then they looked at Cody Rhodes and they just turned to leave. And Cody Rhodes grabbed the microphone and basically said that they need to respect him. They said, there's no way. He said, I'm going to be the leader of this team. You guys are team captains in name only. I'm the real guy here." And so, of course, Big Show got in his face, which made Mark Henry get in his face, which made Jack Swagger get in his face, which made Kofi Kingston grab a microphone and say, "Hey, guys, come on. This is what Team SmackDown wants. They want us fighting against each other. We have to stick together as a team. That's how we're going to win this." And, of course, Triple H happens to point out, "Wait a minute, aren't you Jamaican? Aren't you supposed to have an accent?" And Kofi gave him this look, uh-oh, they figured out I'm not Jamaican. But so I don't know if they're planning on repackaging him or if that was just one of those goofy little gimmicks, one of those funny things they wanted to throw out there for the sake of just, putting it out there. But it was fine, fine little segment. But here's the funny thing is that Big Show was really the one who started this fight. Cody Rhodes was out there talking smack to DX, which you kind of expect was going to happen, but Big Show was the one who stepped up and really accelerated it. And then they had this match. Triple H said, "You know what, you guys, you're all going to have to learn to work together. There are five of you. We've made a 5-on-5 tag team match, and if any of you gets pinned and loses the match, then you're going to lose your spot to the person who pinned you because that's going to prove that you were the weakest link." And so they immediately call out the opponents. You had MVP and Primo Colon. You had Chris Masters. You had Chavo Guerrero. You had Evan Bourne. The problem here was that this would have been fine as a qualifying match a couple weeks ago. If you had 10 guys out there and you said one of you is going to be guaranteed a spot, and they had this match and some guy won, and then they set up some singles matches out of it would have been fine. But most of these are guys who lost qualifying matches. They're back here for this 5-on-5 tag team match, and they lose again. So Evan Bourne, buried. MVP, buried. Primo, you knew nothing was going to happen with Primo. Chris Masters, you knew nothing was going to happen with Chris Masters. Chavo, you knew nothing was going to happen with Chavo. But for guys like Evan Bourne and MVP, who the crowd likes, the crowd cheers for, the crowd wants to see in main event spots, these guys got buried tonight. But they had the match. Basically, Cody Rhodes, he was beating up on Primo, and he hit the roll of the dice on him and was set to go for the pin, and Jack Swagger blind tagged himself in. Jack Swagger got the pin. Jack Swagger's celebrating. Cody gets in his face. Mark Henry and Big Show start to square off. Kofi's trying to get in the middle of them. They, end up having this big brawl, and the last man standing dominating is Big Show. And once again, I think you can look at a lot of what's happening. Listen, Team SmackDown has to win. If Team SmackDown does not win this bragging rights match, SmackDown is, they've given up on SmackDown. That's what that means. If they lose this match, they've given up on SmackDown. SmackDown's network is going down. SmackDown is the only original show being broadcast on my network TV nowadays. So they don't expect the network to survive much longer. They don't expect SmackDown to grow a whole lot. One of the ideas of putting ECW on Sci-Fi in the first place was that should something happen to my network TV, which I believe at the time was still CW, but whatever, if something were to happen to my network TV, that would be the fallback for SmackDown, and ECW would become an internet-only show, which is what it was originally conceived as in the first place. When Vince came in and said, "We're going to make it part of basically the SmackDown touring team, it's going to be on Sci-Fi," it was basically meant to be a placeholder show. If SmackDown loses at bragging rights, then that means they have no faith in SmackDown. They don't expect anything to happen with the network. They don't have a new home for them. And you're probably going to end up seeing SmackDown as a 1 hour show on Sci-Fi, starting either beginning of the year or beginning of next summer. And that's sad. Now, if SmackDown wins, I believe it's going to be because of the Big Show. I believe SmackDown is going to win with Big Show turning. He'll have some sort of confrontation with Jericho early on. They'll play it off like those two are actually fighting. Jericho's going to act all pissed. It'll come down to a point where it looks like Team Raw is about to win. Big Show will step in, screw everybody over. Jericho will come in and get the pin. And that's going to show SmackDown winning because those two team members stuck together. And they will, and they have to, really, because they are the tag team champions. And they've done it before where the tag team champions were guys who did not get along. And the way they moved the belts was they had one team member walk out on the other guy. That's not a good way to move your belts around. So I'm calling it for Big Show shenanigans at the pay-per-view. SmackDown's going to win because there's just too many negatives in SmackDown losing. And especially these new guys, McIntyre, and Escobar, they want to get them over, and the way to get them over is to have them be on that winning team. Especially right now with as quickly and as hard as they've elevated them in the last couple of weeks. That's just I just got to say that that's how it's going to go. Let's see. They had a backstage segment where they had Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase first was being interviewed by Josh Matthews, asked him, "Have you talked to Randy Orton? What does he think about your betrayal of him last week?" And DiBiase's like, "Listen, I just did what Randy Orton would have done. If he had seen an opportunity like that, he would have done it. It's the exact same thing, and so, he really can't get too mad at me because I know he would have done the same thing if he was in my shoes." Orton pops in the screen, looking supremely pissed off, gets in his face, and DiBiase says, "If you were in my shoes, you would have done the same thing. Don't try to give me some sort of line saying otherwise." And Randy Orton basically says, "You know what? We've got a match tonight, but it's not going to be a match. You're not going to fight back. You're going to take everything that I throw at you. Otherwise, you're going to be out of legacy, and I'm going to, cripple you, throw you out of the business, whatever." So they cut to commercial. They come back. DiBiase's in the ring. Out comes Orton. The two of them kind of face off, and Orton hits DiBiase. DiBiase doesn't retaliate. He stands back up. Orton, throws him down. He's doing stomps. He's throwing him off the ropes, hitting him. Whatever. DiBiase's just taking it. He gets a little more upset every time, but he takes it. He gets more upset, but he takes it. He gets angry, but he gets up, he centers himself, and he takes it. And he just allows Orton to beat the crap out of him. And every time Orton does one of these moves, the crowd just grows in frustration. They want Ted DiBiase to turn face. They want Ted DiBiase to attack Randy Orton. They're begging for it. They're basically doing the same thing they did with CM Punk when they turned CM Punk heel. When they turned CM Punk heel, it was the slow build. This week after week, a little bit here, a little bit there, they would toy with it and then back off, toy with it and back off, until the crowd begged for it, until the crowd was screaming for CM Punk to turn heel. They're doing the same thing with turning Ted DiBiase face here. They're playing with it little by little, week after week, a little bit here, a little bit there, until, you know, it's going to explode. When Ted DiBiase turns on Randy Orton and goes face, the crowd is just going to go nuts for it. He is going to be, you know, the next big babyface. We knew it was coming because he's got the movie coming out. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no surprise in that idea. What's surprising is how well WWE is doing it. WWE has bungled a fair number of angles over the years, and I don't think I'm surprising anybody by revealing that fact. But watching this, watching the facials between these guys, listening to the crowd, you know, just grow louder and louder. Randy Orton shoves Ted DiBiase into the ropes. DiBiase bounces back and shoves Orton down, and he's ready to burst, and he backs him up into the corner, and Randy Orton looks afraid, and Ted DiBiase looks like he's ready to snap, and the crowd is going nuts, and people are going crazy and screaming and jumping up and down, and they're ready for Randy Orton to get what's his, and they desperately, desperately, desperately want Ted DiBiase to do it. And Ted DiBiase backs off. And Orton gets up. And the people are booing and they're going nuts. They can't believe it. And DiBiase looks down, looks away. And Orton hits him with the RKO and gets the pin. And it was so brilliant. It was so well played. Both guys did an excellent job. WWE did a great job the way they built it up and the way they let it happen. And the way they backed off. They could have done it tonight, and, you know, if this was Impact, I would expect it to happen. But it didn't happen. They backed off, and they had DiBiase just take it. And it's going to come to a head, and when it does, it's going to be awesome. But for now, DiBiase is still heel, and he's still with Randy Orton, but you know it's coming. You know it's coming, and when it does, you're going to cheer like crazy for it. They had next up a video package for Captain Lou, and it was great. It was a great little video package. You know, Captain Lou did so much for this business, did so much for WWE. He was some guy who really loved wrestling. He loved this business. He was a great, great man. He was a drunk, but you know. God loves everybody, and Captain Lou was a great man, great video for him, and it really kind of makes you, you know, you think about these guys from the past who have done a lot for this business, how great they are, and they never really get the respect that they're due while they're alive. Captain Lou did. Captain Lou was one of those guys, he'd walk down the street, people recognized him. He'd be one of those guys they'd throw on a VH1 show to have him pop up and, you know, do some crazy thing. People knew who he was. You know, 12-year-olds know who Captain Lou is. Not all of them, maybe, necessarily, but, you know, a fair number, considering how many 74-year-olds there are out there, or 72-year-olds, however old he was, and how many they are familiar with. Captain Lou, great man, great man. They followed this up with their little comedy bit backstage. Jillian Hall went into Snoop Dogg's office and said she wanted her rematch. She tried singing Snoop Dogg's song, but Santino came in dressed like Charlie Brown with a fake skull cap on and his you know, yellow shirt with a little squiggly line on it, and you know, said he wanted to beat the crap out of Lucy and you know, whatever, and Chavo Guerrero came in, and Chavo said he wanted to, you know, beat the crap out of those guys for what had happened in the match tonight and blah, 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 whatever. And Snoop Dogg just basically freaked. He said, everybody get out of my office. He kicked everybody out. He turned to Eve. He said, get my bag. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, my bag, my special bag. And so they grab this black bag and this lighter. And I think he said something about how he needs some smoke or something. And they cut to a screen, which is, it says, you know, technical difficulties, please stand by. And they played this music. And they had the... they had a picture of Michael Cole and a picture of Hornswoggle. And it looked like they had photoshopped Michael Cole's arm over Hornswoggle, so they were having a hug. And Michael Cole had the fakest smile on his face. And if there was ever a billboard that you were going to put up on how to spot a child molester or the evils of molestation or something along those lines, this is the picture they would use for it. This, you know, you almost hate to say it, but this was so gay. And that's exactly what I mean. I don't mean gay as some way of demeaning something that was just awful or bad. This was homosexual. This was so terrible, the way they had Michael Cole with his arm around Hornswoggle. It looked... Anyway, they come back, and you see Snoop Dogg, and he's sitting in a room full of smoke, and he goes, that's what I need to relax. I just need to get lungs full of my scented candles. And it pulls back, and he's got a whole bunch of scented candles and a little thing of incense on the table. And he's like, this one's jasmine, this one's vanilla, this one's fresh cut grass. And Santino comes in and sits down, takes a big whiff, mugs for the camera. And that was the end of that segment. Funny, you know, as dumb as those segments are, funny little segment. It was fine for what it was, exactly that little comedy spot. You thought they were doing something about weed because it's Snoop Dogg, of course. They made it scented candles. That's funny. Sure, why not? So, no problem with that right there. Next up, they had Triple H versus John Cena. They gave him close to 20 minutes on this match. The announcers kept calling it a classic. They said it was pay-per-view caliber. You know, I thought it was a very good match. It was not the best match. I don't think it's a match that's going to show up on like a best of Triple H DVD or a best of John Cena DVD, anything like that. But as matches go, it had a lot of time. It had a lot of interest. It took three pedigrees by Triple H before he was able to pin John Cena. Which, you know, in WWE language, John Cena just quit, so, he just lost, so he's going into the pay-per-view with the stipulation that if he loses at the pay-per-view, he's off of Raw forever, so he just lost a match, meaning he's going to win at the pay-per-view, he's going to stay on Raw, most likely doing a program with Triple H because they did the match here. So, but it was a very good match, and it was definitely entertaining, definitely worth checking out. Next up, they had Miz. Miz came out, and he said, you know, he was supposed to wrestle some nobody, whatever. But Snoop Dogg said that he got kind of mad at The Miz for making fun of Marty Jannetty last week on SmackDown, so Marty Jannetty is his opponent. And Marty Jannetty came out, and nobody in the crowd reacted. You kind of felt bad for the guy. He's going to come out after getting name-dropped on SmackDown. People might at least, you know, it's like they didn't even recognize him. You know, the idea, like, here's a name. Here's a name of Shawn Michaels' old tag team partner, and it had no recognition. It was really kind of sad. But Marty Jannetty did a pretty good match. Several years ago, Marty Jannetty had a match with Kurt Angle, and the match went really, really well. And so they signed him to some short-term contract, but then they really didn't have anything for him. They let him go, and people said, you know what, Marty Jannetty probably wasn't even that good anyway. It was just because he was in the ring with Kurt Angle that he was able to have an entertaining segment. But the reality was, he was in the ring here with The Miz, Mr. No Charisma himself, And the match came off great. You know, for a nobody versus somebody you hate match, Marty Jannetty started getting chance. People started to care. People wanted to see him win. He did an excellent job in the ring. There was nothing really botched. He didn't look rusty. Marty Jannetty did an excellent job. Miz basically hit him with the what is it, the skull crushing finale, his finisher, and got the win because, of course, you know, the Miz is the regular guy and Jannetty's just out here to make this appearance. So, I mean, you knew he was never going over, but they still made it interesting, and that's what counts. They did something about NASCAR. I don't know. I guess some NASCAR guy is gonna, or two NASCAR guys are gonna come on. They, I don't know. Turn left. All right. Next up, they had a Divas match. It was Jillian Hall's rematch, Melina versus Jillian Hall. Luckily, it was short. It was only a couple minutes long. Jillian came out. Chavo came down, tried to interfere on Jillian's behalf, but instead, Hornswoggle came out, and he was dressed like Snoop Dogg, had the fake dreads on, and wearing this black suit. I don't know. To me, he looked more like Coolio. Or, I'm sorry, Weird Al as Coolio doing Amish Paradise, but, you know, whatever. So, of course, Chavo's upset that he's doing a segment with the midget again, so he attacks the midget. Snoop Dogg comes running out and tells him, you know, let the midget go, you know, back off of him, don't do anything. So Chavo throws him down on the ground, gets in Snoop Dogg's face, pushes him around a little bit, slaps him. Hornswoggle crawls right up behind Chavo, gets on all fours right behind his legs, and Snoop Dogg hits a clothesline on Chavo, which, of course, he trips over Hornswoggle, who's hiding behind him, and goes down, and Chavo gets mad, rips off his shirt. He wants a match here with Snoop Dogg, and the two of them kind of circle around, and Snoop Dogg hits him with a spear, and looked pretty good for Snoop Dogg. And then he celebrates, and the ladies get in the ring, and they do their dancing, and that's basically the end of him for the night. But, you know, I'm tired of Chavo and the midget, but this little segment I think worked out fine. They announced it's going to be Jericho versus Shawn Michaels. They announced at the beginning of the show. They kept talking about it during the show. So here we are, our main event, Jericho versus Shawn Michaels. And instead, Jericho grabs the microphone and talks about how he's the captain of Team SmackDown, and he's put together a great team on SmackDown, and no one's taking him seriously. So they're, you know, going to have to make their point or whatever. And he calls out the rest of Team SmackDown, and all the guys come running out of the crowd, even though their music's playing on the the sound system. But anyway, all the guys came running out. They got in the ring, and then all of Team Raw came out and got in the ring. And Vicky came out, and she said, "Don't do this. Don't fight. Stop this. Whatever." And of course, none of them listened, and it turned into one big fight, and Raw went off the air. You know what? This was a good episode of Raw. It was by no means the best Raw of the year, but it was good. They had a lot of interesting stuff in it. There was a lot of fun stuff in it. There was some really good matches, especially that 20-minute match. The segments that were supposed to be funny were funny. And Snoop Dogg came across as a guy who was really a big wrestling fan and really enjoyed being there. And so, it sold the idea of the pay-per-view. Unfortunately, they had some, you know, miscues early on with some of that stuff they were doing with Team Raw and the 5-on-5. I thought was a problem, but you know, everything else, the Cody Rhodes and Orton stuff was great. Triple H Cena was great. The Captain Lou video package was great. Miz and Marty Jannetty was a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. So all in all, I have to say, this is a very, very good show of Raw. And if you missed it and did not see it, you've got it sitting on your DVR, or sometimes you download them or whatever. Yeah, go ahead and watch this one. Go ahead and watch it. Watch it tonight, watch it tomorrow night, watch it Thursday night, whatever. Watch it before you watch SmackDown, but you definitely want to check out this episode. This was a good one to see. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. I want to thank you guys for checking us out. Don't forget that we do have a lot of other podcasts here at VGLosers.com. We have The Weigh-In, which is all about the world of MMA. We've got Fantasy Football Sports Talk for all you fantasy football guys who need to keep track of stats and trades and, you know, whatever football stuff, fantasy football stuff they do. And then there's It Figures, the toy and toy collecting podcast from our sister site at That New Toy Smell. It also gets put up here on VGLosers.com, but you can check it out either place, and it's worth checking out. I'd highly recommend it. But I want to thank you guys for listening. We're going to cut it off now, and you know, I always play something extra at the end of the show. We have the fade out music, and then we come back and we play something. We've been doing this for, you know, I don't know, month and a half now, 2 months, I don't know. If you haven't been sticking around past the credits, you might want to go back and listen to some of the old shows. You know, work yourself backwards through the library until you get to some of those. But, you know, today I've got one. We kind of listened to this already, but someone did a remix of it, did some changes to the song, and I think it works a lot. I thought it worked really good last time, but I think it works even better now. So, our bonus song at the end, for some of you, you're going to think, I've already heard this, but if you listen, there are changes to it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So that's the end of our show tonight, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you Friday when we talk about Friday Night SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, the great Khali.
Go! Party! Go! Party!
Party! Party!